Jesus is in Jerusalem. As he's walking down the road, he sees a beggar, blind from birth. The disciples say to Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, to make him blind?" You see, they believed that if someone was born blind, it was not a matter of genetics or a mishap. It was because someone had sinned, and blindness was God's punishment. Jesus tells the disciples that neither have sinned, but that this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And with that, Jesus spits on a dusty dirt road, makes some mud, and puts it on the blind man's eyes, telling him to go wash in a nearby pool. The man heard Jesus, obeyed, and washed in the pool. When he got out of the water, his sight was restored. So what did his neighbors think of this miraculous healing? The neighbors were divided, as some believed it was him, and some said it was just a man who looked like him. When the man insisted that it was him and that he had been healed, they asked for proof of who had healed him, but the man did not know. So the neighbors brought him to the Pharisees. And what did the Pharisees think? As the once blind man recounted his story, the Pharisees also were divided, because a holy man would keep the Sabbath, yet how could someone who is not holy perform such a miracle? So the Pharisees brought in the man's parents to make sure that he was really blind from birth. But the parents did not give an answer of who had healed their son, because they were afraid to call Jesus the Messiah and risk their own lives. And then there was the blind man himself. What did he say? He told the Pharisees how his eyes were opened, the clay, the washing in the pool. And when they asked him about the one who had healed him, he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews questioned him further, but he was not afraid like his parents, and said boldly, "Since the world began, it has not been heard that any man opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." The Pharisees became angry and threw the man out. When Jesus heard this, he found the man and asked him if he believed. The man said, "Lord, I do believe," and worshiped Jesus. Some Pharisees nearby retorted back to Jesus, and we're going to read Jesus' response in John 10. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I tell you the truth, the man does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way. This man is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know him and they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So when you think of Jesus as a shepherd, what comes to mind? Is it a gentle Jesus holding a lamb in his arms or on his shoulders? Perhaps this Jesus is in a field. It's green in the beginning of spring, and there's a beautiful blue sky and fluffy clouds and a spring nearby with clear running water. This is what most paintings look like that depict Jesus as the Good Shepherd. But as we look at the context of the story, we see that perhaps this isn't the image that Jesus is painting for those listening. After all, he's in the middle of a debate with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are bullying a poor beggar, blind from birth, that Jesus has just miraculously healed. The Pharisees interrogated the once blind man and his family, demanding to know who Jesus is and where his power comes from. But this man doesn't know. He is illiterate and uneducated. In his ignorance, he can only say what he knows, that he was once blind and now he can see. Jesus is incensed by the Pharisees' bullying and says so. When they retaliate, he tells the Pharisees, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim to see, your guilt remains." In other words, they are the blind ones, not the beggar. But Jesus isn't finished. He continues as he tells the allegory of the sheep and the good shepherd. "The people of Israel are like sheep, and I am the good shepherd for which they are yearning," Jesus says. "My people are done with the burdensome yoke that religion has placed on them. Israel has been locked inside a pen, and they are desperate to hear the true shepherd's voice. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the good shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Did you hear that? Jesus isn't saying he will keep the sheep safe in their pen. He's saying he leads them out of the pen, to freedom, to roam the lush green hills, to have life and have it to the full. The Pharisees have locked God's people inside a pen of controlling legalism. The sheep are trapped, unable to flourish. But Israel will not follow the voice of the Pharisees because they are like strangers. It is Jesus' voice who rings true. God's people hear Jesus' message of freedom, and their ears prick up. They want to be free. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," this isn't a message of nurturing and protection, although this is true as well. It is a message of change, of revolution. It is a message that we belong to Jesus, and he is leading us to a world of freedom. During my freshman year at ACU, I fell in love with the Gospel of John as I learned from a professor and scholar named Dr. Lightfoot. I will never forget arriving to John 10 in class. Dr. Lightfoot's face lit up as he read aloud to us, "I am the good shepherd." Every time he read or said that phrase, he would emphasize the word good and shake his head a little while he said it. God is a desirable, attractive shepherd, Dr. Lightfoot would say, not in his physical appearance, but in his character. Jesus is the shepherd that we have longed for, the shepherd we have dreamed of and desired, but haven't met in any other person claiming to be a shepherd. Jesus alone is the good shepherd, and he is finally here to lead us. The good shepherd is not just here to take care of us. He's here to free us. And for every shepherd, there are, of course, sheep. If you grew up in church, you have probably heard a lot about sheep. I know I have, and I know that I do not want to be a sheep. Sheep are stupid. They are smelly. They don't have a good sense of direction and don't know how to take care of themselves. But there are a lot of truths about sheep that I can relate to, if I'm honest with myself. We sheep are desperate to belong and be part of something bigger. We are white sheep, docile, doing what we're told, following the flock. We stay in our pens, eating the same patch of grass until it is only dirt, yet we don't move or try to escape. We are black sheep, rebelling as we stay far at the edge of the flock, insisting that we are different and we are not like the other sheep. Yet that insistence keeps us from gaining our greatest desire, to belong and feel the safety of the flock. We are needy sheep. We give away parts of ourselves every time we encounter someone who claims to be a shepherd, who says they will lead us and take care of us and be strong for us. We are independent sheep. We pretend to be so big that no one will realize how small we feel, how desperately we want a shepherd to belong to guard us and protect us. We don't want the rest of the sheep or the shepherd to see the fear that is driving us. We are deaf sheep. We spend so much time listening to our own voice that we can't hear the shepherd calling us. We wish that we looked different, that life was different, that we weren't so sheep-like. We try the newest thing to make us softer or wider and search to belong in places that can never give us a sense of belonging. We are sheep who only see the greener grass elsewhere. We think that if we were better sheep, maybe we would deserve that grass. But we pity ourselves that no one likes us, and maybe we don't belong to this flock of sheep. We are the best sheep we can be. I don't want to give you the impression that all sheep are bad, because that simply isn't true. Sometimes we embrace our sheepness. We help each other find the best grass, and we listen to the voice of the shepherd. We love the shepherd and follow him. We are these sheep, every one of us. And that's okay, because the importance of this allegory Jesus tells is not about the sheep at all. It's about the shepherd, and not just any shepherd, but the good shepherd. The good shepherd takes all of the sheep into his flock, the white sheep, the black sheep, the needy sheep, the independent sheep, the deaf sheep, and the grass is always greener sheep. We don't have to earn our place among the flock of the good shepherd. We don't have to be good enough to keep our place. The good shepherd does not give his protection and love and concern based on our looks or behavior. The good shepherd has so much grace that he has made it free to belong to his flock. The good shepherd sees our pain and fears, our desires and dreams, and yet he still calls us by name. And we know his voice. Even amidst our inner voices of insecurity and the cry of the wolves all around our pen, we know the voice of the good shepherd. It is the voice who loves us so deeply and desires intimate relationship with us so greatly that he chose to give up his own life on our behalf. The voice that, no matter how dumb or smelly we are one day, gently calls to us, "You belong here. Yes, you. You belong to me. You are mine." And as the sheep that belong to the Good Shepherd, he does not leave us in the pen, no. He frees us to the pen that has controlled us and has given us anxiety. The Good Shepherd opens the gate and he leads us to the open pastures. He expands our world and offers us a grace greater than we could ever allow ourselves. He gives us life and life to the fullest. And that is why he is the Good Shepherd. We only have one task as sheep, to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We know his voice, and he knows our name. Just like the blind man, we can trust the voice that gives us freedom. We can know nothing else more than what we see and say, "Lord, I believe." And that act is enough every time. The Good Shepherd will lead us out of the pen to a full life, that we may be truly free. There is no shame in being a sheep, because we were created this way. Created to be free. Created to belong. Created to belong to this church community. Created to belong to the Good Shepherd. Amen.